this. A beauty killer's in the sky. What a thrilling time to be alive. What is up, everybody? It's the Georgia Show, Thursday, October 3rd. Palmer Toms, Jake Roos, and we got a lot to talk about. Georgia is trying to bounce back this Saturday against Auburn after a regular season defeat for the first time since the 2020 season. They'll be doing so without one of their key top defenders, starting defenders there. We'll talk about that. And then a big decision that's looming also on Saturday, also involving Auburn. We will get into all of that and more. Jake, how you doing?
Not too bad, man. Ready to get this one underway, Palmer. I think everybody's kind of ready to wash the taste out of last week out of their mouth and really kind of see how does Georgia bounce back. We saw them in the second half kind of respond to adversity, but are they able to put that fully behind them and move on again this week?
Yeah, it was just so surprising to see the way that that game started. And, you know, I know you and Roe talked about it on Bark After Dark, and you know, Roe and Rusty talked about it post game and then on Sunday as well. But, you know, for me, it was just being there in Tuscaloosa. It was so just shocking the way that Alabama jumped on them. And, you know, I was surprised to see Georgia come back. You know, I think that there's a lot that can be learned from that comeback. That this team certainly is not going to back down when they're in a corner. And, you know, it didn't result in a win, but I think that there are things that can be, you know, taken away from that second half, and you try to bottle it up and take it into a game this weekend against Auburn, where once again, you are a big favorite, like you were against Kentucky, like you were against Clemson. You know, I think you've got to find a way to do what you did in the second half earlier. That's the biggest key. You know, there were three things this week that I talked about, that Kirby talked about, that, you know, we all have easy to see as issues. Third downs, they've got to be better on third downs on both sides of the ball. They got to start faster on offense, and they got to tackle better on defense.
Yeah, pretty inarguable in all respects, I think. What's concerning, I think, for everybody is that those things have kind of been somewhat consistent issues. That's not something that just cropped up last week. I mean, this tackling issue, we saw that against Kentucky. That really hadn't been the case. I don't remember that being the case against Clemson. I don't remember watching them against Clemson and being like, wow, this is really poor tackling.
No, but it was an issue in that Tennessee Tech game to a certain extent. And, you know, last year, I think it totaled 85 missed tackles. This year, they've already got 42 four games.
The slow start thing has been a consistent thread throughout this year. And so, yeah, I definitely understand that one as well. Look, there's stuff for them to clean up. And if this past weekend did not motivate them to have their best week of practice so far of the year, I don't know what to tell you, man. I mean, you know, hang the cleats up, I guess. But I really think that this is an opportunity to learn a lot about this team, about their mental makeup, and about their preparation based on what happens this weekend. Because quite frankly, Auburn is not a team that should be overlooked. I know that they've lost some games to some lesser opponents is probably a fair way to say it. But it's not necessarily the case that they've just played like horribly. I mean, they had a chance to win that Oklahoma game. They've made costly turnovers in big spots, and that's really what's cost Auburn. They've got some horses out there, man. And like I said, Peyton Thorne last week, he was pretty good up until that really costly interception to
change. And last year, he's a guy that gave Georgia hell. I mean,
absolutely. You know, absolutely.
The way that Auburn was able to exploit something that both we saw Kentucky do it, we saw Alabama do it. That quarterback run game is so important, and you've got to be able to defend the edges. That was a problem for Georgia last year against Auburn. That one happened at Jordan-Hare Stadium. This one will happen at Sanford Stadium. So we'll see how that kind of plays into it. But they will be playing this game without somebody that has been a key contributor for this team the last three seasons. That would be linebacker Smile Mundon, declared out already on Wednesday's availability report.
How old is this photo? That's Ryan Davis in there, isn't it? Is that 24?
No.
Is that Malachi?
That's Malachi. That
he looked like Ryan Davis there. It looked like he had a little more of a mustache going on. I was like, wow, this is an old photo.
I believe that photo is ironically from last year against Florida, right after he had the I can't remember if it was third down or fourth down, but it was a stop on Trevor Etienne, who of course is now at Georgia. That's where I believe this photo comes from. But no, the Munden declared out already on the availability report. He's one of four Georgia players to be declared out already. None of the other three are all that surprising. Roderick Robinson, who underwent surgery on his toe, he's been out for a while, hasn't played this season. London Humphreys, who's dealing with an illness, it's been reported as mono, and so that seems like a longer-term deal. And then Tate Ratledge, who underwent surgery on his ankle and is also dealing with a knee injury. So, but Smile, you know, that one certainly is comes across as surprising. I mean, he's somebody that we talked to on Monday. You know, somebody that they trotted out there as a leader of this team, and you know, somebody that you're expecting to count on. Sounds like it could be a foot problem again. Don't want to speculate too much on that, but that's kind of what the initial indications have been. We will hear from Kirby post-game. That's the next time that we'll hear from Kirby. And Smile's absence certainly will be addressed. Jake, how do you think they go about trying to take on Auburn without Smile Munden?
Look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I think this is a better football team without Smile Munden. That would be untrue. I do think that Smile Munden has dealt with a lot of health issues that have hampered him throughout his career. And I think that we've kind of seen a little bit of tweak, right? Even through this year, it feels like he hasn't just been the guy that you're used to. I think that this, of all the positions that you could afford for a guy of this caliber to go down at, it's this one. And so you're going to turn, obviously CJ Allen has been playing plenty, obviously already. Raylan Wilson is the guy that stands to benefit the most mm-hmm. from this. And I think that he's going to, this is a good opportunity for him to rise to the occasion. We've seen some really nice things out of him over the course of this year. He brings a lot of speed to that position, a lot of really, really strong play recognition. And you combine those two things, man, you can really create some problems for some people. So we haven't gotten to see the best of Raylan Wilson yet, but I want to see how an expanded role kind of plays in for him. I think that it's going to be really advantageous for him. Like I said, I don't think Georgia's better for this, but I do think that they're so deep here that it allows a lot of flexibility. Do you see some of these other younger guys get involved as well? I don't know. I mean, I think that this opens up a lot of doors because Georgia has been rotating at that inside linebacker spot throughout this year pretty heavily. You go look at the snap count. A lot of guys are getting reps. So, you know, it's primarily Munden and primarily CJ Allen. Obviously, I think Raylan Wilson steps into the third role and we'll see the most run of any of those guys. But, you know, does a guy like Justin Williams get some looks this week? I don't know. Does a guy like Chris Cole get a peek as well? It depends on how things go. I think they've consistently kept the ranks tight in these kind of closer games, Kentucky, Alabama. You just didn't see much participation. So, it may be a heavy dose of all those guys, but even last week you saw Raylan feature as well. So I do think that it's going to be an interesting situation for Georgia to watch and see how a guy like Raylan responds to this moment.
Yeah, no, definitely looking at Raylan being a guy that steps up, you know, alongside CJ and Jalen. Oddly enough, Mykel Williams getting back healthy is important in this. And you think, hey, he doesn't play inside linebacker. Why would that be? Well, because Jalen Walker has had to play a lot of snaps at outside linebacker on that edge role, and I think he will continue to do that because it's something that he's really good at. That's something that regardless of who was in the lineup, they wanted to do. You know, I think that getting Mykel back and able to take some snaps at outside linebacker, continuing to develop Damon Wilson and continuing to count on Chaz Chambliss some in there as well, you're able to not have to rely on Jalen Walker so much at outside linebacker. He can play more of that inside role. You can play him and Raylan and CJ and all those guys taking snaps in place of Smile. But like you said, you know, that I believe it's the money linebacker position. They're pretty interchangeable, but the more athletic of the two linebackers, the rangier of the two linebacker positions, that's where Raylan Wilson is going to fit in. You know, in place of Smile Munden. And I think it's going to be interesting to see because, you know, not only how does this team respond from an X's and O's standpoint, but how do they respond from a leadership standpoint? You know, obviously this is a, you know, test that they're facing. They haven't lost a regular season game since 2020. It's been almost 4 years since that happened. And so, you know, how do they go about overcoming that and you know, having their backs against the wall this season? You know, probably can afford another loss. I think a 10-2 Georgia team would be into the college football playoffs, but you got some really big, tough tests ahead, and you got to come out of it with, you know, maybe just one more blemish. I don't know that a 9-3 Georgia team would get into this college football playoff, even with it being expanded. So not sure on how long Smile Munden's going to be out. Don't want to speculate on that, but certainly something where Georgia is going to have some guys step up.
Yeah, and Jalen Walker, glad you mentioned him for sure. You know, he's one of those guys that, honestly, he kind of slips my mind as an inside linebacker anymore because he is so multiple in what he does. He's all over the field. And so I just went ahead and plugged Graylin Wilson in there. But, yeah, you're right. It probably will be a really heavy dose of Jalen as well. I don't expect them to go away, though, from what they've been doing with him because he has been so, so dynamic for them this year and played so many roles. That's been a big key to a lot of what they've done successfully on defense, in my opinion.
Roos, let's talk about Prize Picks. Prize Picks has been a really fun way for us to stay involved, you know, in a fun capacity on fantasy sports. And so we've got a play for y'all this week. We won our big one last week. You can see up there in the corner, $135. Woo, woo. All right. We Ro and I put together a winning parlay there. And so, you know, we've got one for you guys this week as well, and we're going to see if we can get on a win streak. Georgia did not win, but we won. And I don't know which is more important, but
if you can't get one, take the other is what I
think. Exactly. Yeah. So, for this week, we're looking at Peyton Thorne, Dylan Bell, and Trevor Etienne. Peyton Thorne, we are going less on 175.5 passing yards. He's been inconsistent. He's turned the ball over. I think this is going to be a Georgia defense that comes out with some fire. Dylan Bell being a guy that had a big game last week, two touchdowns, you know, had one rushing, had one receiving, over more, half a touchdown rushing or receiving. So if Dylan Bell finds the end zone, that hits. And then Trevor Etienne, we are going more on 11.5 receiving yards. I think that they are going to continue to try to find ways to get him involved in this offense. Dylan Bell, Colby Young, Trevor Etienne, those are the kind of guys that I think we saw have such a big impact in that second half, and Georgia's going to continue to try to lean on those guys. And so we are going more on Bell and Etienne and less on Peyton Thorne. But you can get in on the fun too at prizepicks.com, promo code DAWGS, that's DAWGS, will get you $50 on your first play of five. So play $5, win $50, whether your parlay, whether your player lineup hits. So get in on the fun. It's certainly a lot of fun, and it's a way that you can make in any sporting event, whether not just Georgia, you know, other college games as well. You can do NFL, you can do NBA. That season's starting up before too long. NHL, NASCAR, golf, they got it all. So MLB, if you know, hey, the Braves are out, but you want to keep some rooting interest in these playoffs, Prize Picks, that's your way. Promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, on Prize Picks gets you $50 on your first play of five. Roos, what do you want to see from this Georgia team as they go into this game? I know we talked about, you know, that inside linebacker position, so let's stay away from that again. But what do you want to see from this team as they try to bounce back with a win against Auburn?
Two key things for me, really, and it's none of them even relate to the defense. I want to see the offensive line continue to progress. Ernest Green had a much better game last week than he's had kind of consistently throughout the season. He was flat out terrible against Kentucky. The grades reflected that as well. So the offensive line just has to continue to progress, especially without Tate, who is arguably and I think most people would say objectively your best offensive lineman. And then secondly, for me, it comes down to one guy, and it's Carson Beck, man. I keep waiting for Carson Beck to deliver on some of that Heisman hype that he had coming into the season, that projected number one NFL draft pick hype. I understand where it came from. I mean, I was with it too. I mean, I thought that made a lot of sense. you just haven't seen that from him yet. And it seemed like, you know, Roe and I have talked about this kind of consistently. Like, he is historically a slow starter. And so when does he turn that curve? Because when he did it last year, when he took that turn, it was all up from there, right? That's what kind of put him on this trajectory and on this path and gave him these expectations that everybody has about him now. So when does he take that turn? If he's going to, I shouldn't just say that I assume he will. I do believe he will, but you got to show me. I mean, you just got to prove it first. So I keep waiting on that. To me, that's the biggest thing that hinges around what Georgia is going to do the rest of this season. I've seen enough out of this defense. When they needed, look, they got their eyes beat in early on in that Alabama game, but they were able to come up with stops down the line, and they were able to get their offense back the ball. This team will live and die by what Carson Beck does the rest of this season. I feel very comfortable in saying that personally, and I think that it's going to be interesting to see when and if he catches that stride.
No, I definitely agree with you on Carson there being so key to Georgia's success or failure the rest of the season. You know, and I think that that's important. I think kind of tangentially, you know, very much related is how they get the other guys on this offense involved. You know, we saw, you know, and I mentioned it in that Prize Picks play there, Dylan Bell, Colby Young, Trevor Etienne, those guys all had big impacts in that second half. Dominic Lovett had a little bit more of a consistent impact. Arian Smith was spotty with his, you know, with the big plays.
Colby Young could have had a little better impact there at the end, but that was
– But here's the thing, and the throw to Colby, you know, going back and rewatching that game, that's the right throw. That's the look you want.
Right, but the kid has to take the OPI. You just can't.
But he also got caught off balance a little bit. I don't know that he was expecting it, and you're right. There is a little bit more of a fight that you can put up to get that ball, or you know, stop.
Or just make sure they don't
play. Right. Yeah. No doubt. But I think also in seeing Carson go to a guy like that wasn't on this team last year, in that situation, says a lot about what this offense and what this team thinks about him. He can be that guy. He can be the guy that when the game is on the line, Georgia goes to. And I think that he needs to be that guy. I think that, you know, we saw it during G-Day. We saw it, you know, against Clemson. He came up with a big catch there. Georgia has got to find ways to get the ball in his hands and not necessarily, you know, counting on catch and run. You've got other guys that can do that. You've got speedier guys. I do think that he can be an across the middle guy. You know, Roos, I know we talked about it at some point. Georgia's missing Marcus Rosemead-Jack Saint a lot more than I think people expected it to be.
Yeah.
Because yes, Brock Bowers was that guy. He was a big bodied guy across the middle, but they need more of those guys that, you know, obviously I completely understand why Ra-Ra Thomas is not with this team, but they miss him. They miss Marcus Rosemead-Jack Saint. They miss Brock Bowers. They miss Ladd McConkey. All those guys, absolutely. You know, that's four of your top five pass catchers from last season. You need those guys. You know, you need to find replacements for those guys. And I think Colby Young has a chance to be one of those guys. I think Dylan Bell has a chance to be one of those guys. They've got to find those guys. And so for me, what I saw in that second half was Carson starting to feel comfortable with those guys. He's got to continue to build on that. And so that's what I want to see. I'm with you. I'm not concerned about this defense. They ran into an absolute buzzsaw of an offense, of an Alabama offense, and you know, one player, two players in particular, in Jalen Milroe and Ryan Williams. They were absolutely perfect on those first four drives. And, you know, defense had its back against the wall in one of those.
Well, and it wasn't like they had a lot of time to regroup either. I mean,
exactly.
Georgia's offense was not doing them any favors. They weren't getting a lot of time to scheme it up. They just run back out there as soon as you get off the field, right?
Right. And when they did have the time to make those adjustments, when you go into the locker room, they made them, and they made them well, and they came out and played well. So I'm not super concerned about this defense. I think that, you know, to a certain extent, when it rains, it pours in those types of situations. I think that – That 21 SEC championship game is a similar situation where you feel really good about that defense, but they got their, you know what, beat in. and they got kicked in the mouth and kicked in the teeth. And so how are they going to respond? The defense, I feel good about. How is this offense going to respond to what happened last Saturday? And what's really been happening all season is the slow start. So I think that that's an area. I think that, you know, I'm interested to see if Georgia gets a couple of guys that we're not mentioning into the rotation. You know, we talked with Kirby about freshmen that, you know, hey, how do you get these guys involved? Because you did sign the number one recruiting class. Alabama had two true freshmen that made the two biggest plays of that game. Ryan Williams, Zabian Brown, 2 5-stars. Georgia's got 5 stars too. Only one of them saw the field on Saturday on either offense or defense. And so how do you get those guys more involved? Nate Frazier's got to find a way to be on the field. You know, I think Jaden Riddell could be a guy that they turn to. Is Ellis Robinson somebody? Kirby said he continues to push that group, that group of corners. You know, that's a group that I think in general has to play better. Could Ellis Robinson being plugged into the rotation be something that sparks that group? Joseph Jonah-Janya, he didn't see the field on Saturday. And I know that he's a younger guy and it's harder to play on the lines of scrimmage, you know, just because of the size and physicality that it requires. But how do you continue to get that group of freshmen? And you mentioned the linebackers and Justin Williams and Chris Cole. This could be their opportunity. This could be a way for this freshman class to, you know, finally get a spark and get something going. Very interested to see, you know, how Georgia goes about, you know, trying to bounce back.
Yeah, no, I'm
any last thoughts?
Well, no, I mean, you said, I thought you were just kind of in stride there. So I was just letting you roll with it, brother. you pulled up on me and pulled the e-brake. So, no, I'm with you. I think that, it presents all of those opportunities. Certainly the younger guys, this is when you start to see them take the, you know, you got, all right, you've got 4 games behind you. You got more than a quarter of the season gone. Now who's going to start taking the steps forward? Your head's no longer spinning. It shouldn't be. You've been in big environments. You've seen what goes on there. You understand who takes the step forward.
Roos, we're talking about these freshmen, and you know the way that you can get eyes on these youngsters beforehand.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to dive in on a little bit of some recruiting insight. And we're talking about these freshman guys. Everybody wants to watch them, see how they develop. Well, you want to see the stars before they become the stars. So get over and check out those guys playing live via the NFHS Network. It allows you to do just that. Whether it's your favorite recruit or even just your family member, the NFHS Network allows you to be there for every moment, even when you can't be there in person. You can stream the games live, on demand, clip highlights, share it with your friends and family. Subscribe now at nfhsnetwork.com. That's nfhsnetwork.com. We'll have our viewing guide dropping this evening so you can, or this afternoon, so you can watch your Georgia commits that are available on the NFHS Network. I believe we got some games tonight. Got games tomorrow, games on Saturday. So a lot going on. Some great ones around the state this week. So NFHS Network got you covered. Get over, check them out, nfhsnetwork.com.
Yeah, promo code DAWGS25, DAWGS25, gets you 25% off your first month. Roos, you're putting together that viewing guide. Is there any game that stands out to you the most, at least from what you've seen?
Oh, without question, buddy. There's no doubt about it. It's Camden County versus Valdosta, 5-0 versus 5-0, man. It's going to be an absolute war. Two Georgia commits featured in that one, and Elias Williams for Camden, and then you got Todd Robinson, the quarterback slash do-it-all for Valdosta. That's going to be a killer game, man. I'm super excited to check that one out. Interested to see how I can check it out because the timing kind of butts up against Georgia's game on Saturday, but definitely going to be a war down there in South Georgia. Big implications. And look at my Fannin County Rebels. They're playing away. I don't know who away is.
But. Westlake Carrollton. I mean, those are two big programs that catches an eye.
Yeah.
And Roos, this feels like the right time to mention to folks, we've got a new area on our message board, a new, it's not a new board, but a new.
It is a new board.
I guess it is a new board. A new forum.
We got a new forum.
So the Georgia High School Football Forum. That certainly interested to see how what kind of conversation gets going in there.
Palmer, you're a young guy, so I won't hold this against you. And you're also from Tennessee, so I won't hold that against you either. But there was a and I don't even know if I can mention the name of it. Probably it was the Georgia Varsity Sports Event was what it was called. That was when I was in high school, man. It was a bloodbath, man. It was terrible. Like, people fought like hell on that thing, talking just craziness about, you know, their opponents and their rivals and, you know, this game and, hey, check this guy out at this school. And it was everything, man. We're trying to get back to that with this. And there's so much passion in Georgia high school football right now. And there always has been, but right now you're talking about such a concentration of talent in this state. There's so much to discuss, man. We're excited about this, the new high school football forum. Just talking about what's going on in the Peach State, because there's always something, man. And look, with all the transfers we've seen from school to school and coaching moves and things of that nature prior to this season, man, we're just getting started, but this thing is, I really like the direction this is headed. It's going to be fun to follow this all moving forward.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, there's, you know, some big region implications, big state title implications, the road back to the bins for several of these teams. And so it's going to be interesting to follow that. And you can come check that out on Dogs HQ. Dogs HQ membership gets you access to the dog walk, you know, full on Georgia board with some off topic conversations as well, but also this Georgia high school football forum. So that's new as of this morning. So you can get in on it from the ground level. That's what we can tell you. So Roos, let's talk about October on the recruiting trail while we're talking high school football. I know that there's a big decision coming up on Saturday, in-state running back Usmani, is that what we decided on?
Usmani, yes.
Usmani Chroma.
Usmani Chroma.
Out of Lee County, you know, one of the top teams in the state, and that he's having a heck of a senior season. He will announce his decision on Saturday. Georgia is a finalist. Auburn is also a finalist. Those appear to be the top two schools. And, you know, what are you hearing about that? What kind of momentum do the Dogs and or the Tigers have? I know Auburn flipping Deuce Knight, you know, that could be intriguing.
Yeah, no doubt. Big get for the Tigers, man, there for sure. They've been pursuing that guy forever. And quite frankly, they needed to. I think that quarterback has been one of the main concerns that they've had this year. But Usmani Chroma, the top uncommitted running back in the nation. If I believe you are correct on that. Really been an interesting recruitment to follow, man. Just a lot of ups and downs to this one. Georgia was in, Georgia was out, Georgia wasn't talked about for a while, Georgia disappeared from it. Georgia suddenly begins surging forward consistently, and you start to hear that sort of bubble. I wasn't convinced about this until probably the last, month that Georgia was going to even be a serious player. Now, a couple of days out of this decision, I think Georgia's right in the thick of this thing, man. Feel good about how the Dogs stand. Look, none of these are ever a slam dunk anymore, so I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, you know, I think that they're going to get it walking away. Auburn is always going to be a threat for a guy like this, certainly, but you know, the work of Josh Crawford here has been very notable. It's, you know, Georgia's running back coach, was coaching wide receivers for Georgia Tech, got deep roots down there in South Georgia, coached at Lee County at one point, coached at Valdosta at one point. So this is a guy who knows that area, knows it well, understands what it means to come from a place like that. And I think that that's played really well with Usmani Chroma. The thing about him, you go turn on the tape, man, this is a big, physical guy. This is a guy who, I mean, we're not talking about a little bowling ball kind of pinball guy here. This is a guy who can straight up run you over. You know, this came to my mind, and I need to compare these tapes side to side before I just lock in on this. But the name that came to my mind in thinking about it was a little bit of Tank Bigsby. I think you can see a little bit of that in that tape.
Another Georgia Auburn battle.
Yeah, that was a Georgia-Auburn battle. The one that Georgia wishes they could have had back, I guarantee you. They chased Zach Evans in that class, and that didn't work out. But
was that the group that they ended up getting Dejan and Kendall?
That was correct, yes. That was the Kendall-Dejan class. But Kroma is one of the things that you hear consistently, and I've talked to some people in Lee County about this. Just a world-class person. People love this kid. They think that he's a special young man, a really high-character guy. So whoever gets him, getting a hell of a player, hell of a young man, and definitely Georgia will be hoping it's them. And like I said, I think things look good as of today. But look, man, it's Thursday. This is going down on Saturday. Recruiting change on a dime. So don't quote me on it, but just know that I do think Georgia in good standing with Ousmane Kroma. And if they get him, certainly a huge addition. They've been looking for a second back in this class, and you wondered where it was going to come from. Flirtations with Bo Jackson were out there. And gosh, there's been a couple even along the way, but this is one of those that kind of like just consistently was in the wave. You wondered if it would ever come to fruition, if they would make the move, and it does look like they're in really good position now.
No, and you're right. Big credit to Josh Crawford there, and those South Georgia ties certainly playing a big part here. Coached at Colquitt, Valdosta, Lee, Jefferson, Jefferson County, that is, Greater Atlanta Christian. Obviously, that's not a South Georgia school, but he's got ties to those, to the high school ranks, and you know, bringing him in, I think that this is a guy that he made a priority. You know, not that, you know, he wasn't on Georgia's radar when Del McGee was the running backs coach, but I think that bringing in Josh Crawford, you know, certainly that is when this one
he
started.
Was offered under Del McGee, though. That's the thing. I mean, like, he's had the offer,
right? It's not that he wasn't on. Exactly. He was a kid that Georgia was looking at. I think the love turned up a little bit, you know, both ways, right, from Georgia and from Kroma, you know, when Crawford took over that job. You know, and it's going to be interesting to see as Crawford continues to recruit across several classes, what does his running back look like? Because he hasn't recruited running backs. He's recruited receivers. Sure. You know, Bo Walker he was a Del McGee commit. So this would be Crawford's first commit. So what does a Josh Crawford running back look like? We're still learning that at Georgia. We're still learning that on the recruiting ranks. And so certainly going to be interesting to follow as he makes his decision. He will not be there on Saturday, or at least isn't expected to be there on Saturday as he's making that decision. But there is going to be a ton of talent that is in Sanford Stadium checking out the Dogs. Without giving away too much, just, you know, who are you looking at? Who is the big name? You know, what is the most important thing to come out of this weekend from a recruiting perspective?
I think we all know who the biggest name is. There's no question. It's Justice Terry. You got another shot to get this kid back on campus, man. Dogs are looking to.
Probably a good thing that he wasn't able to check out that performance last Saturday, because he was
in Tuscaloosa. Look, people say things like that, and I understand where it comes from. I understand the concern with something like that. But a lot of these guys, man, look, you got to understand. He plays at Manchester. Manchester has not won every game since Justice Terry's been there, despite the fact that Justice Terry is a tremendous player.
And it's not like he couldn't watch it on television. Only
million. These guys are able to contextualize a loss. That's what I tell people all the time. They understand. Like, I mean, almost nobody goes through their high school career undefeated. So they're able to say, hey, look, this is a part of the game, you know. But look, it's Justice Terry, man. Anytime you get the guy back on campus, it's huge news. And you want to continue that every single time, man. I do feel great about where Georgia stands with him. I have said that consistently for some time now. I do think that, you know, ultimately, in the end, I feel good about him being a Georgia Bulldog. But there are no assurances in the world of recruiting. And so you have to continue to do it. It's like fishing, man. They don't call it catching. They call it fishing. That's the same deal.
I like that. I've never heard that. They don't call it committing. They call it recruiting.
That's right. Exactly. They don't call it committing. They call it recruiting. And you got to recruit these guys, man. That's the deal here as well. So, plenty to love about getting a guy like that on campus once again. And he's the big fish, but a really, really loaded group this this week. And it makes sense, man. Georgia's had a complete, almost a full month since it's had a chance to have a home game. So they're coming back swinging, big SEC game. Makes all the sense in the world to me that they would load that visitor list up. We've been updating it all week at Dogs HQ, so get over and check it out. We got the latest iteration up, version 3.0, and a lot of talent coming in this weekend for the Georgia Bulldogs. It's going to be exciting to see, man, kind of some of the reaction that we get out of this, because, like I said, man, they haven't had a chance to do it. And quite frankly, the last chance you had to do it was against Tennessee Tech. The only chance you've had to do it this year is against Tennessee Tech.
It's weird that it is October 3rd is we're talking, and we've only seen Georgia play once at Sanford Stadium, as opposed to this time last year they had played five times. You know, they were, you know, at home a ton early, and it's not that they've been on the road a ton early, but it just, you know, they played two road games. They had a bye week in there. We're not used to having that this early. You know, they kicked off at a neutral site. So, you know, that's how you end up with a month between home dates. And, you know, it's 28 days. Georgia will go over a month between home dates with the Mississippi State game on October 12th. And then they won't play again at home until November 16th against Tennessee. Think it could be big for Georgia to have a couple of those, you know, marquee matchups at home. You know, the Tech game on that Black Friday, although it looks like Georgia high school football is going to be played on that Friday now. Playoff game is going to be played on that Friday. But to have back-to-back-to-back home games to close out the season, that's a big opportunity to make a statement to some kids as they can get to Athens. But like you said, Justice Terry is a big one. He is not the only five-star. They will have a couple of others in that 2025 class, some other names, young, talented names in 2026 and beyond. And they've got a couple of flip prospects that they're looking to flip some guys that are committed elsewhere. And several of those big names will be on campus. But Roos, you will be monitoring it all. We will be, I will be at the game on Saturday. Jake Rowe will be joining me there. We will have you guys covered with our post-game show presented by Bulldog Snacks. And so be sure to check us out, Dogs HQ. It's the place to be right now. So come check us out. Roos, any last thoughts you want to share?
Man, like I said, just get over, check it out. We got by the way, the high school football forum is free. So you don't have to be a member of Dogs HQ to check that one out. You can sign up for free to
there you go. That's news to me.
Yeah, come over and check it out, man. Hang out with us. You know, have some fun over there chatting with some of our members. And who knows? Hell, maybe you decide that Dogs HQ, you're spending enough time over there, you might as well just go ahead and hop on in with us.
Well, that'll do it for us on this episode of The Georgia Show. I am Palmer Toms. He is Jake Roos, and we are out.